Well, thank you to our choir. That was very beautiful. Thank you to Mrs. Heine for her offertory music as well, which was very beautiful. Certainly adds a lot to the Holy Day when we can have special music. I was thinking driving over, I'm talking off the top of my head, I'll probably get myself in trouble, but you know, it would be nice if we could even do a couple pieces of special music on a Holy Day and maybe have one less hymn in the beginning, but puts more work on our choir and others, but it's nice that we can have and enjoy what we have. I brought a prop with me this morning or this afternoon. Something will be familiar with this week. This little guy gets a bad rap. He really does, doesn't he? I mean, for some people, the thought of going 7 days without soft bread, you know, for their sandwiches, you know, or that honey-dipped donut, biscuits, gravy, or the coveted garlic bread at Olive Garden, whatever it may be. It seems impossible. It seems impossible that we would put that aside and we would enjoy this for the next 7 days. When we press upon people the idea that they should eat unleavened bread, they quickly recall memories of matzo splinters in their upper gum, or in their right or left cheek, those little splinters gouging and cutting the inside of their mouth as they try to enjoy eating unleavened bread. Those splintering crumbs that shower all over your lap or the table or the floor up here on the stage during Passover. For those that weren't here, that was my fault. It dropped a tray and it exploded on the floor here. But God never intended the eating of unleavened bread to be unpleasant, which so many of us find it. I actually enjoy matzos. I actually got cases of them at home. They were on sale last year, so I bought a bunch. You butter them, you salt them, and you can actually pretend you're eating a saltine cracker. Takes some imagination, but you can sort of pretend. But God never really intended it to be unpleasant. You know, we joke about these gouges and cuts and punctures from trying to eat something that's, you know, like eating, you know, shards of glass, right? We joke about it. But again, we hear messages about this little guy, this matzo, this cardboard, whatever. It seems like as we eat it. We hear these messages that it represents the body of Jesus Christ. And so it seems a bit of a contradiction that it would be such a nemesis to some, but yet it's something so powerful that it does picture. It seems like it's a conflict, this painful matzo representing the body of Jesus Christ. And so because of this, we might find this idea, this false conclusion, this conflicting message that living apart from sin is painful, because, you know, if a matzo means living without sin, I don't find that particularly enjoyable, right? And so if we're not careful, we might think that it's just easier to just not try to change my life and just keep going the way I have been. Some people are probably counting down the days and the hours until the sun's going to set and the days of unleavened bread are over, and then get back to that warm, soft, leavened bread. 6 days, 10 hours, and about 20-some minutes if you're counting. You know, but some people do become quite creative, and they'll prepare and they'll enjoy a variety of unleavened breads during this coming week. You know, as I mentioned in announcements, after services, we're going to try something and encourage people to bring a variety of unleavened treats to enjoy, you know, so that we don't just dwell on our nemesis here, this rough piece of matzo. By enjoying those leavened treats, we can be reminded that living apart from sin is good. It's enjoyable. It's right. And we don't have to think of it as enduring the next 7 days, but something that we can appreciate and we can enjoy and we can look forward to. So if you don't like this little guy, this matzo, this flatbread, don't let it become an excuse for not eating unleavened bread each and every day over the next 7 days. Since we're gathered here on the first day of Unleavened Bread, I want to look at some lessons, some life lessons, basic life lessons we can learn by keeping the days of Unleavened Bread, as we prepared for the days of Unleavened Bread, and certainly beyond the days of Unleavened Bread. Because these lessons that we experience parallel what the Israelites did as they came out of Egypt. I've titled the sermon this afternoon, The Days of Unleavened Bread and Lessons for Life. The Days of Unleavened Bread and Lessons for Life. I want to begin in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. The Israelites, who would have been scattered all over the land of Goshen, are going to have to gather themselves and all their belongings, drive their livestock to a departure point in Ramses. This is what we commemorated last evening. This was no small task. Historians suggest that some probably had to travel 20 miles or more to get to the starting point. So they had to go to wherever they were. They had to gather up their belongings, their family, their livestock, journey 20 miles to get to the taking off point. So that would have taken an entire day. Excuse me, Exodus chapter 12. Let's begin in verse 37. We'll read a couple of verses here. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, and a great deal of livestock. So here we have 600,000 men on foot, is what it says. Now, depending on the commentary that you read, they indicate that these were the men who were healthy enough to walk on foot. There were other men that couldn't. They could have been elderly or sick, unable to actually walk on foot. So we have this 600,000 men on foot. Another, whatever number, would may have been on horses or donkeys or camels or in carts, pulled along. In addition, there were wives, there were children. And so, again, some commentaries would indicate that the women and children were like three times the number of men. If you have a husband, you've got a man, you got a wife and a couple kids. So if we just conservatively said that's, three times the number of men, we're talking upwards of, another 1.8, 2 million people beyond the men. So we're talking, again, about maybe 3 million people, and their livestock gathered in Ramses to go out. And there was a mixed multitude also with them. So these are those that were not Israelites. And so, again, 3 million people or more, plus their animals, all gathered in Ramses to sojourn. They gather in Ramses by night, and under a full moon, they take off. And as we observed last night, that is that night to be much observed, right, that we commemorate each year, and it begins the days of Unleavened Bread. Do you think it was easy? I think any of us would realize it was not easy. There were days when I thought packing my wife and six kids for the feast was beyond, anything I could handle. So if I thought that was tough, just packing a van to go to the feast, this clearly was not easy. And this is a lesson for us. You and I don't have to do what they did. We don't have to pack up and sojourn and leave our homes and move. But as we know, God gives us physical things to help us learn spiritual lessons. And in what they did, there's a lesson for us. Right? Coming out of Egypt was no small task. It was hard. It took a lot of work, and it was not easy. They did that to begin a new life. Lesson number one, then, is getting leaven out of our lives is not easy. Getting sin out of our life is even harder. Right? As hard as you may have felt cleaning your homes and cars and office and everything for unleavened bread, however difficult that may have seemed, getting sin out of our life is even harder. And there's a lesson for us. Exodus 13, notice in verse 3, it says, "And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten." Right? Don't ever forget, they didn't take themselves out of Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt. They had to do their part, but God, it says, by the strength of the hand of the Lord, they were brought out. And so likewise for you and I, a life lesson we can be reminded of each and every year as we go through the days of unleavened bread and we clean and we get ready and we get the leaven out of our homes, our cars, offices, whatever you know you feel that is your responsibility. We all face those places and those crumbs and those things that we can't quite get to that we recognize we need to clean, and it can be difficult. You know, you start pulling the, you got to pull the oven out away from the wall. You got to pull the refrigerator out and away, and it takes a lot of work. You know, we get out our compressed air cans, our toothbrushes, and our toothpicks, and we go to work on all these different things. Of course, the vacuum cleaner. Right now, somebody goes, oh, I forgot to empty the vacuum cleaner. Somebody will do that during the days of unleavened bread. You realize I did all my cleaning, and then, oh, I forgot to throw out the vacuum cleaner bag. Sometimes we take things, we shake them up and down, and we bang them, and, you know, maybe you gave up and just threw it away. I've known people that do that as well. I used to know somebody that would buy a cheap toaster every year, right? This one on sale at Walmart. And then right before the days of unleavened bread, they just threw it away. And after the days of unleavened bread, they bought a new one. It was easier, they felt, than trying to get all the crumbs out of their toaster. But they missed the point, right? The point is not that you have to throw your toaster away, but it's that you recognize this is hard. It's hard to get every crumb out of every corner of my life. But the lesson up here is it's hard to get sin out of every corner of my life. It's not easy. Let's continue here in verse 4. On this day, you are going out in the month Abib, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep the service in this month. Verse 6, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there will be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. So the leaven is to be gone at this point in our homes and our lives, and we're told to eat leavened bread now, unleavened bread. If I goof this up, you know what I mean. We're not eating leavened bread. So if I goof up, know what I mean, not what I said, okay? And so we're reminded here then that we're to eat unleavened bread. Sometimes over the years, what I think has happened, I know in my own life it was that way, sometimes we were so diligent, working so hard to get all the physical cleaning done that we never really slowed down to do this cleaning, right? The spiritual diet, the examining of the self, which we talk about all the time leading up to the days of unleavened bread. Because all that physical effort at the end of the day means nothing if we haven't paused to examine self. The physical teaches us the spiritual. Right? But we don't abandon the physical and say, oh yeah, I've figured out the life lessons here, so I don't have to do the physical cleaning anymore. No, we still got to go through it each and every year because we don't want to go to that extreme. Notice verse 8. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came out from Egypt. And so a life lesson for us certainly is, you know, I can't get every crumb of leavening out of my home. I do the best I can. We work hard at it, but I know that probably if I went home today and shook our toaster oven, something's going to still fall out. It's just going to happen. The life lesson, though, is I can't get sin out of my life on my own. God brought them out. God will deliver us, right? We have to take what we see in ourselves to God, and he will purge us of that. Let's continue in verse 9. Exodus 13, verse 9. It shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, and the Lord, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. So here again, it is the Lord that brought them out. It is God that will see us through our sins. As we examine and we look at our lives and we take that to him, because we can't do this on our own. We just can't. They couldn't come out of Egypt on their own. God had to do that. They had to do their part in preparing and meeting in Ramses to head out. But it was God that brought them out. And the same is true with you and I. Verse 10, you shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. So again, we can't say, well, I've learned the lesson, so I don't have to do this anymore. He says, nope, you're going to do it every single year. If he didn't mean that, he would have said, you know, on the Jubilee year, every 50 years, you shall do this. But he didn't say that. He said, you need to remember, year after year after year, you need to be reminded of this. So the first physical lesson that we're reminded of is that just how hard it is to get leaven out of our lives, the spiritual parallel being how hard it is to get sin out of our lives. It's not easy. And God doesn't expect us to do it on our own because he knows we can't do it on our own. Go back up into Exodus chapter 12. Notice verse 19. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. So it's no small thing. You know, we don't want to be cut off. And so, again, we physically, we do that, we go through that effort of trying to get all the leavening out that we can. Lost my place. You shall eat, for 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leaven, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. So in these two verses of Exodus 12, verse 19 and 20, we have a couple words that are used here. The word for leaven is a barm or a yeast cake, and it means leaven. And then the word for leavened is kametz, and it means anything leavened. So you have leavening that needs to come out of your house, plus anything that is leavened. That's why we not only get rid of the baking soda and yeast and those kind of things, but we also get rid of those products that have been prepared by them. And it goes on to say, you shall eat then unleavened bread. That's our favorite word, matzah, right? Because we get the matzo comes from. And so he says, you need to eat that. You need to have Christ in you each and every day. You should be reminded when you get up in the morning. You should take some unleavened bread each and every day and remember what we're doing in the 7 days ahead of us. And so what we see here in these two verses is basically three things. We put out leavening, which can be a difficult task depending on, you know, we've got, you know, food all over us. We've got, you know, obviously the kitchen, we've got a pantry, then we got storage space in the basement, and you know, it takes a while to go through everything. But we're told to put leavening out. We're told to put out any product that has leavening in it, right, that we would consume. And then we're told if we eat anything leavened, we're going to be cut off. And so it's something we should be careful of as we go through the next 7 days. But not just the physical aspects of it, it's the spiritual lesson of sin in my life. That I've examined myself, I've put it out, we've gone to Passover, we recommitted ourselves, and now I want to be diligent going forward to not put sin back into my life or allow it to come back in. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so again, getting leavening out is hard. Getting sin out is harder. Right. That's the lesson, the most important lesson that we should have learned as we've prepared to keep these days of unleavened bread. The end of verse 1 here tells us to run with endurance, right? It's why we repeat these every single year, to be reminded over and over, you know, what it is that God expects us to do. And so when it comes then to putting leavening out, again, it's hard. But you got to have a plan. You can't wait till, you know, an hour before sunset and then try to get it all done, because it's not going to happen. It's just not going to get done. You know, when our kids were young, you know, we always made it a point. Everybody, you know, and we still do it. Everybody that's at home, everybody's got a task. And sometimes when your kids are small, they're like, oh, I never had a sandwich in my bedroom. Yeah, you did. Like, get in there and clean your room, right? It's like suddenly all the, I don't ever remember eating cookies on the sofa. It's like, yeah, I remember it or whatever. So everybody has a task to do. Everybody has to do their part because everybody has to learn that lesson. And so, you know, when they're young, you give them simple things that, you know, a young child could remember. And then the family, you kind of work it down. At some point, your family has the big announcement, right? No leavening leaves the kitchen, right? Because it's like now you've got it in a box, it's at the end of the table, whatever it is, and it's like, and then the big announcement comes out. The house is purified. No leavening leaves this spot. And then pretty soon it ends up, you know, the corner of the kitchen over eating over the sink, whatever it is, right? Every family's different. But you have a plan and you work towards the days of unleavened bread. You don't try to do it with an hour to go. Go back, we won't do it. Matthew 25 and just revisit the parable of the 10 virgins applies here. You can't wait till the wedding and suddenly go, oh, yeah, I forgot. You're not going to be ready. We won't go through it. Just read the parable of the 10 virgins in light of preparation and getting ready for the days of unleavened bread. You can't wait till the day before, an hour before sunset, and think you're going to get it done. You're just not going to. And so everybody starts earlier. You know, some people start a few weeks ahead of time. But whatever works for you, the goal is to have that complete. But let's not forget this first lesson, right? Just like God took them out of Egypt, He will help us out of sin. We do our part, but we can't do it all. And so He is faithful to help us through. We just got to do our part. Lesson number two. Oh, the places we will find leavening if only we would look, right? The places we find sin in our life if only we would look. Right? So that's the second lesson we learned through the days of unleavened bread. Those nooks and crannies and crevices of our lives where we find leavening, right? Show of hands, how many of you, as you were preparing, found leavening in some crazy spot you didn't expect to find leavening? Anybody? Yeah, so you know, whatever it is, you open up a thing, like, okay, how did that get in here? Like, you're clueless. No idea. You know, when you had little kids at home, you could blame it on the kids. Oh, surely they must have done this, right? But when it's just you at home or you and your spouse, it's just amazing where you'll find things, right? That's a lesson for us, a life lesson, where we might find sin in ourselves if we would just look. I think I'm pretty sure I've shared a couple stories in my life. My most memorable one was an apartment. I was pretty witty as a single guy on how to make this go easy. So I moved into an apartment right before the days of unleavened bread, so I didn't buy any leavening, right? Figured I'm good. Skip that one. So I got a year off, right? Next year, I'd moved to a different place, so I was cleaning my apartment out, and I found behind the refrigerator, between the little cooling coil and the refrigerator, was a cracker, still in a saltine type thing that I'd never bought. I didn't buy those things. It's like, it was not mine, but it was there all year, and to me, it's like, that's what you get, right? You think you're going to skip out? Nope. And it sat there all through the days of unleavened bread because I didn't go looking for it, right? So I've always remembered that one. And then, of course, I often share my personal annual nemesis right now is that little spot between my seat and my console in the car. When I look in there, and it's like, you know, it's kind of like, oh, that's probably a speck of cotton dust or something. It's probably not leavening. You can reason this away. And it's amazing the things I'll try to come up with to clean that out. But the lesson isn't so much that as much as, do I do that in my life? Do I look for the crevices of my life to examine myself to see, you know, where I might find sin? And maybe it's not the place. Maybe it's the product, right? Some matzos labeled kosher for Passover have leavening in them. You read the box, kosher for Passover. Throw it in your cart, you buy it, you go home. Somebody right now is probably going, I better go home and look at that box. Because it'll happen. You'll turn it around and it'll say kosher for Passover on the front, but it'll be leavening in the ingredients. So maybe it's something like that. But this, I think, is one of the lessons that we should be reminded of. Do I take as much time in my personal life when I look at me as I do in the time I put in getting ready for Passover and days of unleavened bread, right? Work hours into cleaning the house and the car and going through everything. Do I do that in my life? Or do I think I know the lesson, so I don't have to be as diligent, and then we become somewhat complacent? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Because we know this is a time of the year when we do this self-analysis to look at ourselves, right? And each day when we take some of our friend here and we consume some unleavened bread, it is that daily reminder that I want Christ to live in me. I want to become like him. And so I need to be sure I'm being honest with myself, because, again, God already knows us. He just wants to know if we'll be honest with ourselves. And again, never forgetting the first point, God's going to help us through all this. We're not doing this on our own. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul, as he, again, exhorted the church in Corinth, verse 28, we looked at this, I think, in a sermon recently. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You're going to discern the Lord's body each time you take bread this week. You should. You should reflect upon that. That I want to be like Christ. I want to be like my older brother. I want to be like God the Father. And each day, as you take a little bit of unleavened bread and you enjoy that, that you appreciate that that's what I'm striving to become. And as we looked at earlier, God will help us if we ask him for that. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Think about that. If we would just judge ourselves, we won't. The other word there for judges won't be condemned. Or I think damnation is the word that's used there. So, who's going to go easier on you except you, right? So just be honest with yourself and make the changes that we need to make. You know, the word that Paul used here in examining, we've looked at in the past, is that word dokimazo, which literally means to be tested or tried to be approved. The goal is to be approved, not to fail the test. So when we examine ourselves, it's to be approved, to make sure that I am approved of God. And if there's something about me that needs to change, just change it. It's that simple. God makes it pretty easy on us. Just admit it and change it, right? But the goal is to be approved. Passing the exam is a word, could be a translation of that word again. So Paul here is admonishing the church at Corinth. It's been recorded for us to just examine yourself in light of Scripture. And if you see leaven in you, if you see sin in you, purge it out. That's all we have to do. Just get rid of it. Now we know that can sometimes be a challenge, but if we acknowledge it, we can take it to God. And so again, at some point in our preparation for these days of unleavened bread, as we went through our homes and our cars and our offices or whatever, you know, we're always examining every possible location where we might find leaven. You know, when I used to have an office and when I was at J.P. Morgan, you know, I'd go through my desk drawer, dump everything out, because I'd keep snacks in my desk. It's easier than walking half a mile down to the cafeteria in the building. So I'd have to go through that because that was kind of my responsibility. It was, you know, kind of my space there. But when we go through that, you know, it's more important that we're looking at ourselves and making sure we're being honest and examining ourselves. One of the challenges, if we go to Jeremiah 17, is, you know, if we're not careful, we have this warning in Jeremiah. Again, we don't always see ourselves the way God sees us, and so we think we got it all nailed, it'd be, probably be worth us to go ahead and ask God, hey, is there something I'm not seeing? Go easy on me. Right? Don't unload on me. But Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So, you know, again, as we're going through this, even going through this next week, ask God, you know, is there something I've missed, I've overlooked? Right? You can count on his promises of forbearance and patience and loving kindness and mercy and grace and say, you know, reveal it to me so I can do something about it, but do that in your mercy. And he will. And then you have something now that you can say, okay, this is something I got to work on. I can improve on this. God's not going to just dump everything on us. It's kind of like, you know, as God called you into the church, you know, and you knew enough at some point in your calling, and then as time goes on, you know a lot more now than you did when you first started, right? Because God doesn't reveal everything immediately because it might be too much to take. But again, it tells us that our heart, our core of who we are, is deceitful and desperately wicked. And so the warning is to just not deceive yourself into thinking you've got this nailed. But be honest with yourself, and if you think you've got it nailed, go ahead and ask God to reveal something, and he will, whatever it may mean to be. Notice also Psalm 19. So again, as we are going through the week ahead, as we've prepared now to keep these days, we've examined all those nooks and crevices and parts of our physical property as we looked for leaven. Be sure that we continue to do that in the days ahead of us, that we would be sure that we're continuing to examine, does my life reflect God? Does it reflect the life of my elder brother, Jesus Christ? Is he living in me and through me? Is it evident in who I am and what I'm becoming? Psalm 19, verse 12, David here says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. We looked at that recently, like those arrogant sins, thinking we've got it nailed. Right? I got this. Yeah, I got this. I don't have to clean as diligently as I used to do because I already know the lesson, so I'll kind of give it a once over. Those are the kind of things where now we're becoming presumptuous. And David says, oh, don't let me be that way. You know, again, I think there was a time, as I said years ago, where we probably worked our knuckles to bleeding to try to get all the physical leavening cleaned and never really knew that this was the most important thing. So everything is really about balance, but we don't want to go to the other extreme of thinking, no, I got this, so I don't have to do the physical because I already know the lesson. But he says, keep back your servant from those presumptuous, those arrogant, proud sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. Not before, he says, but afterwards then. So again, it's surprising the places we will find leavening. I might be fun, you know, if next week, if we had a little drop box, maybe we should do this, and everybody just drops in someplace this week they found leavening. It might be fun to go through it afterwards. Because something will pop up this week, you know, and you'll go, wow, I looked there already, or whatever it is. But that really isn't the issue as much as it teaches us that how it can pop up in our lives, how sin can be a part of our lives. So these first two lessons are mainly lessons we learn in preparation for the days of unleavened bread, but certainly carry on through the days of unleavened bread. Certainly finding and removing leaven is hard, right? And finding and removing sin is harder. And also, again, those places we might find it that we need to be careful to look. Now I want to look at a couple lessons that we're going to learn in the days ahead of us. 6 days, 9 hours, and whatever. For those of you that are counting, right? So, lesson number three that I have is to be diligent to keep leaven out, to keep it out of our lives this week. That's a challenge for us, to keep it out of our lives this week. And the parallel, the spiritual, is to be diligent to keep sin out of our lives, which is harder, right? That's harder. Let's go back to Hebrews 12 again. Hebrews 12, verse 1. I'm going to read this again. I'm going to read this first part of the verse from the New Living Translation. I read this a few minutes ago. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. This is how it is translated in the New Living Translation. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. The sin that so easily trips us up. That's one of the lessons I've learned in my many years of keeping the days of unleavened bread, is just how easily leaven trips us up. I think I shared with you my most memorable occasion of that. I think it was 1989 or 1999. My wife and the kids and I, after the first unleavened bread, we stopped at Outback Steakhouse to have dinner, and we were literally, my wife and I and the kids, talking about what we learned today in the sermon. And as we're talking about this, the waitress brought the second loaf of bread. The second loaf of bread and set it down because we asked for more. And as she set it down, I looked at the table and there were just breadcrumbs. everywhere. We had just ate a loaf, you know, that warm bread with the butter. I mean, come on. That is a temptation beyond temptations there. And I remember thinking, what didn't we just do? Like, this is the first day of unleavened bread. We didn't get through one day. See, there's lessons like that that we're going to learn this week, all of us. When you go to work Monday, and that's the week the guy brings donuts, right? It is a life lesson I will never forget. Just how, as we read in the New Living Translation, easily sin trips us up, just like that. I mean, it was a holy day. We're eating leavened bread on the first holy day of the Days of Unleavened Bread. How much more in your face can that be, right? Sin so easily trips us up. And that is a lesson we're going to learn in these 7 days ahead of us. If we're not hyper-focused this week and really paying attention, we're going to slip up, right? You may have a routine. You may swing by Tim Hortons, grab a coffee and a donut on them where you work every day, and you'll probably, if you're not thinking, do it. And then all of a sudden you're going, what did I just do? That's what Hebrews 12 is talking about, that sin that just easily trips us up if we're not focused. And that is a life lesson that we'll learn these days here. The word here in Hebrews 12, verse 1 is eucharistos, and it is used in no other place in Scripture. This is the only place the word is used in Scripture. And it means skillfully surrounding, easily surrounding or encompassing, easily besetting us. Sin skillfully surrounds us, easily surrounds us and trips us up if we're not paying attention. And so these next 7 days, we want to be really careful and very alert and paying attention. But that's just for physical things. It's the spiritual that we should be applying every day of our lives. And we get it when you rise in the morning and just you start out your day and you're focused about who we're trying to become. You know, we read David's prayer in Psalm 19 where he said to keep back your servant. Notice he said keep back. Keep back your servant from those presumptuous sins. Don't even let them come near me. Keep me away from them. We can pray that. You know, keep me from those things. The word for keep back that he used there in Psalm 19 was to withhold or keep back or to restrain. David literally asked God to hold him back, to keep him from sinning. We can pray that. God, hold me back, keep me back. With whatever it is that may be a temptation for you, because again, we're talking about the spiritual implications more than the physical, right? You may mess up this week and eat a donut, you know, but it's the spiritual life lessons, the important thing. We don't want to be cut off eternally by not learning those lessons. So again, in the week ahead, we're going to have to be more focused than ever on this little guy. Again, remember the beginning, the guy that gets a bad rap? This is why it's good to have them out and eat them each day, right? Have them on the table when you come down in the morning and you are making coffee or whatever and you see that. It's going to remind you first thing. So it's an important reminder. Otherwise, you know, boom, just like that, you're having your favorite donut and you forgot all of it, or you're sitting down at Outback, which we're not stopping at on the way home today, by the way. And you're eating bread and you're going, what did I just do? And it, you know, those kind of things will come upon us. Notice 2 Corinthians. Because even if we do, you know, we slip up, we fall back, and we find ourselves eating that nice, warm, buttery bread from Outlet, we can go to God and just acknowledge it. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice verse 7. Because Paul talked about having a struggle. He had a thorn in the flesh. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I be exalted above measure concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So eating leavening this week is minor in compared to dealing with sin in our lives. And we may have things we're struggling with, and we can keep going to God and asking him, and you know, and he'll forgive us, but he may not take it away. But it doesn't mean we don't continue striving against it. His grace is sufficient. Just keep striving against it. Paul had to learn that lesson, and sometimes we have to learn that lesson as well. But we can pray that prayer that David did. Keep me back. Keep me away from that temptation. Don't even bring it near me. Those are prayers that we can ask for. Lesson number four. Our final one. There's many more we could look at, but I only had four today. It's impossible for us to get all sin out of our lives. It's impossible. We know at baptism, we come out of that watery grave, we are pure, right? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You stand pure and clean, ready to receive the Holy Spirit. And then we know as we come to Passover, after we recommit ourselves at Passover, we are once again pure. But we know that life is what life is. And we're never going to get all sin out of our lives. Let's go back to Exodus 13. I mentioned this in the first point, but let me mention this again. How many times here in Exodus 13, it was God that delivered them? God will also deliver you and I from our sins. If we stay close to him and confess them, and acknowledge them and repent of them, he will forgive us. And when we slip up, we go again and we confess those things, and he will bring us through them. I'm just going to kind of try to hit some statements here again. Exodus 13, verse 8. This is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. End of verse 9. For with a strong hand the Lord brought you out of Egypt. Verse 14. Towards the end. By the strength of the hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You know, again, it was God that brought them out of sin. And he will do that for us too. If we stay close to him, if we confess our sins. I think he mentions this a couple other times. Verse 16. It shall be as a sign on your hands, as frontlets between your eyes, for by the strength of the hand of the Lord it brought us out of Egypt. You know, the lesson there, and again for us, is it's impossible to get all sin out of our lives. But with the right relationship, God will see us through these things. We just keep going back. If you have a thorn in the flesh and you keep asking God to take it away, and he says, I'm not taking it away. That may be a temptation you have for the rest of your life. You just keep striving against it is what we're expected to do. Notice Matthew 19. Try to begin to wind down here. Matthew chapter 19. A rich ruler comes to Jesus Christ and asks what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus tells him to go, you know, sell all that you have. Matthew 19. He says, sell everything you have, give it to the poor. He said, basically, just be willing to lose everything. If you want to follow me, be willing to lose everything. And the young man goes away because he can't do it. You see that in verse 22, Matthew 19, 22. He can't do it. He can't bring himself to do it. But then notice what happens afterwards in verse 23. And Jesus said to his disciples, as sure as I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom, not impossible. He said it's hard, but it's not impossible. For a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. There's a few different explanations of what that metaphor means there. We don't have time to go into them. It's an illustration basically saying it's impossible. And so the disciples then come back, and when they heard it, verse 25, they were greatly astonished and said, well, then how can anybody be saved? Like, it's like, it's impossible. How can anybody be saved is their takeaway. What he was saying, though, was, you can't do it on your own, because notice what he says next. Jesus looked at them and he said, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. So whatever you're striving against, right, you take it to God. He says, you can't do this on your own. Leaving Egypt, they couldn't do on their own. God had to bring them out. And you and I, striving against whatever we're striving against, we cannot do it on our own. It's impossible. We cannot obtain eternal life on our own. We accepted Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Right? And so the lesson here is that If we try to do it on our own, it's impossible. We can't get all sin out of our life. It's impossible. But with God, anything is possible. And so it emphasizes the need for that ongoing relationship. In the days ahead, as we examine each and every day, as we take a little unleavened bread, we should be thinking about, I'll think about my life and you think about your life. And what is it that I need to continue working on? And we take that to God and say, God, you said that I can't do this, but you can, so help me. And we can ask those same prayers. Keep me back from these things, right? Keep me away from those things. But nonetheless, we just have to have that relationship. It's impossible on our own. That's the fourth lesson. But with God, it's all things are possible. Once again, God never intended that this little guy would be so despised. It was funny, I was thinking about that the other day when it talks about Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53 about how he was despised and rejected of men. This little guy is often despised and rejected. People don't like matzos. They want the warm, soft, buttery bread. The week ahead of us, we should remember that getting leaven out of our lives is hard, but getting sin out is harder. Right? That's the first lesson. When you think about the places we will find sin in our lives, if we would look, we need to be diligent about keeping leaven out of our lives this next week and sin out of our lives continually. And finally, it's impossible to do this on your own. You've got to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ if we're going to overcome these things. I'm going to conclude in 1 Corinthians 5. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5 a very familiar passage that we often read during the days of unleavened bread. First Corinthians 5, beginning of verse 7. He says, therefore, purge out the old leaven. Purge out the sin, the corruption. Purge that out of your life, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened or uncorrupted. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast. Not with old leaven, right? Sin, corruption, not in that manner at all. Nor with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I pray each and every one of you have a spiritually uplifting days of unleavened bread. I look forward to seeing you on the last day.